Ian Hacking is a philosophy professor at the University of Toronto. He's the author of 13 books and over 220 papers, articles, and reviews, including an article called Humans, Aliens, and Autism. Hacking, talk to Steve Paulson.
One of the things I'm interested in is the use of the metaphor of the alien. It somehow got picked up about 20 years ago and was sometimes used by advocacy groups. One soundbite, which I really didn't like, a couple of years ago, run by Cure Autism Now, which is called CAN, was a sort of solemn young man's voice saying something like this, but I could get the actual quote. Imagine that one in 200 children in America were being abducted by aliens right now. That's called autism. See, this way of, God, this one in 200, it's like being abducted by aliens. And then people have written novels with the word alien in the title and which are about autistic people. Other autists absolutely loathe the comparison with aliens. It means we're not human. There's a guy called Jim Sinclair who founded one of the advocacy movements, which is called GRASP, where the A stands for Asperger rather than autism, who gave a very celebrated talk called Don't Mourn for Us, in which he said, if you have a severely autistic child and you think that your child has been stolen from you, well, then go to a grief counselor who advises parents who've had a child die. You mourn for that child you didn't have. Don't mourn for the child you do have, who is a living human being with immense potential. You treat us as aliens, this is his word, but what we do as we gradually work our way into your society is try to navigate a world of aliens. These are all the words that they use. Mm. And so I'm interested in why did the metaphor of the alien become so attractive and also be resisted so strongly? You can see the resistance.
Sure,
I don't want to be called an alien. I'm a human, you know, et cetera.
But so why would other people use that word?
Well, it somehow captures something which they think, why do metaphors ever catch on? I think because that it somehow seemed to fit the case. And I think there's an explanation of why it's so attractive. One of the things that human beings can do is to just read from another person's gestures, voice, look at the face, where they're looking. You just know what the other person is, roughly speaking. Often we have to infer, but many times we just see. Now, this is part of sort of the birthright of every human child, that very, very quickly they are able to learn, whether it's learning or whether it's just innate, they immediately know what other people are doing. They don't interpret, they just read it off. And that's what autistic people don't do.
They don't have that kind of emotional
they
reaction.
They don't have that reaction. They can't tell what you're doing. They don't understand that you're mad. They don't understand that you're bored. The lack of that birthright, in a sense, means it's very hard to enter the community of human beings. And aliens, the meaning of the word alien is that you're outside the community of human beings. So I think that the use of the metaphor does represent a recognition of an important aspect of autism. I don't say autism is just this. There's a very important saying in many autism movements now, if you know one autist, you know one autist. Autistic people are very different. But I'm just drawing attention to one rather widespread aspect of autistic life which makes it very hard and unnatural for an autistic person to relate to what are often called neurotypicals. That's you and that's me. Well, conversely, we can't do the same. We can't read off. And this is one of the things that's just so upsetting to a parent. They can't tell what their child is thinking. You know, normally parents know perfectly well what their children are thinking, or they don't, and you know. But the parent has the feeling, I don't know what's going on in my child's head. We have to learn how to relate to this different aspect of humanity. For millennia, neurotypicals have been putting autistic children in homes for the feeble-minded or treating them like village idiots or whatever, namely treating them as subhumans, treating them as non-citizens. Whereas now I think that we are doing an extraordinary job of making greater possibilities available to autistic children and adults, and also revising our own attitudes to them, making it easier to live with people who don't behave like I do.
Ian Hacking is professor of philosophy at the University of Toronto. He spoke with Steve Paulson.